Merry Christmas at his place. How about we all stand tonight? Let's clap our hands. Let's get ready to worship our Lord.
Sing it out.
Noel, Noel.
counselor, his name shall be Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, his name shall be Prince of Peace, Mighty God, his name shall be Emmanuel. Bless your name this evening. We come together to adore who you are, Lord. Wonderful counselor, everlasting father, prince of peace. You are wonderful, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. What a joy to celebrate you. We thank you, Lord, for coming into our lives to be evident, Lord, to bringing peace, to bring salvation, Lord, to bring a hope like no other. Bless your name this evening, and in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You can grab your seats.
Thank you guys so much. So much. Merry Christmas Eve to everybody. Glad you guys are spending some time with us tonight to celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know, it was in the area of Bethlehem that Jesus was born, and a lot of us know that. The picture of the stable and the manger as the birthplace of Jesus is a picture indelibly etched in many of our minds. But it may be, that picture is not altogether correct. You know, Bethlehem was a small town about 6 miles to the south of Jerusalem. And the name Bethlehem means the house of bread. And Bethlehem stood in a fertile countryside. It actually was like a saddle, and it's limestone. So many of the homes and are built a little bit with elevation, and the whole city is about 2,500 feet above seawater. So it's got some good weather, and in the saddle part, it's very fertile ground. And that's one of the reasons they called it the House of Bread. It's also was called Ephrathah, as we'll look at in the scripture, and that means fruitful. So the place was known as fruitful, but it also has strong biblical history. It was the place where Jacob, one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, buried his wife Rachel and then set up a pillar in memory of her there, and that's covered in Genesis. And it was there that Ruth, in the story of Ruth, had lived at when she married Boaz. But in the history of Israel and in the minds of the people, Bethlehem was uniquely the city of David, King David, the greatest king that Israel ever had. For Bethlehem was the home and the city of his, we're told in 1 Samuel in a number of different chapters. And it was David, when he was being chased by King Saul, who was threatened by David being pronounced the king, that David said in scripture in 2 Samuel that he longed for the water of his youth from Bethlehem. So, It's most importantly, though, that it was from the line of David that God was to send the great deliverer of mankind, the Messiah, the people the Jews had been waiting for millennia. And as the prophet Micah prophesied, he said this in Micah 5:2. He says, "O you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah," you're so small, "from you shall come forth one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old." In other words, he was before Israel, from ancient days. So we're going to pick up the story today of Bethlehem and Jesus's birth and Mary and Joseph and their journey there, so that we can see that some of the stories we've heard, we're going to put it to what the reality was. You know, sometimes we think that we are the ones who live in hard times, but they had hard times too, and every generation has faced their own hard times. So what was taking place at that time? Every 15 years or so, the Roman emperor, and at this point in time it was Caesar Augustus, since Israel at that point was under the control, Rome ruled the known world at that time. But every 15 years or so, he would have a census taken so he could make sure everyone was paying their taxes. Yes, taxes are not new. And so what they had to do then was every male or the male household leader would have to go to their place of birth, their origin, their where their family originated from, and sign up there. So people from all over the known world at that time were moving during this season. And this is the spring season. We celebrated on the 25th of December, but in reality, it was probably around April that Jesus was born. And so why would they do it in the springtime area? Well, it's easier to travel. They travel by horse, donkey, on foot, usually in caravans to protect themselves from marauders and thieves. And so Joseph and Mary, whom was pregnant at the time, lived in a town called Nazareth, which was about 90 miles away. So it would have taken them a couple weeks to journey from Nazareth down southeast into Bethlehem. And it would have been a rough journey because she was pregnant, probably about 8 months pregnant. So I heard that that's kind of hard for on women pregnancy. I don't know, but we suffer. When I have a cold, I think they're pretty comparable in the pain and the trouble it causes. Anyhow, Luke, we'll pick it up today in Luke chapter 4. It says this, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth." So he's given us a nutshell version of this, and then he will explain it in greater detail in the chapter. So he was betrothed to Mary, and in the Jewish culture, there was three levels of it took to become married. First of all, the families had to get together. Most of the time, marriages were arranged. And so that first took place, and they would pay dowries, and the two families would agree on how this would roll and you know, what was required. And once that was met, taken place, then the second step would be the couple would then become what we would call in our day and age engaged. But in that day and age, engaged had all the legal, religious ramifications of actually being married, although they weren't married and they couldn't consummate the marriage. They were to act as if they were married, and then generally the man would go and build their house and build their place for them to stay. Oftentimes it was attached to the family home. And so you better hope you get along with your in-laws. And so, but the third stage was when they actually had the ceremony of the wedding. And so Joseph and Mary were in the second stage. They were betrothed together to be married, but she was pregnant, which in that day and age, you could be stoned for. It was the worst thing you could do. So let's get a picture of what's taking place. They travel these 90 miles to the place where most likely Joseph had family. He had relatives. But nobody would take him in, as we'll see. Nobody would take him. Why? Why wouldn't a family take him in? Why wouldn't family members? Well, because they were a disgrace. They put shame on the name of the family. And so they were ostracized. And then it says in Scripture that they went to look for a place to stay in Bethlehem, in an inn, which is kind of like a Motel 6, but not as nice. And so they were looking for a place to stay, and everything was full because people were traveling from everywhere that were whose, you know, family origin was in Bethlehem. So the small town was jammed. So it says this in verse 7. Well, let's start with verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them at the inn. So what happened? They're leaving Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is 6 miles away from a major city called Jerusalem. It was the capital. It was huge. And it had the religious temple. It had everything going for it. So they're in Bethlehem. They can't find any place to live. I mean, to, you know, lay their heads down and get ready to do the census thing. So what they did was they started to go back to Jerusalem. And on the way, time for her to give birth. And they had to start looking for a place to stay. While that is going on, we have this other thing that's taking place in the fields, because Luke just told us that the baby was born and wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now, I'm going to tell you more about that as we get there. So they find a place to stay. Is there any place in Scripture that tells us about where that place was? Yes, there is. It's in Micah 2. The same prophet who spoke of the town of Bethlehem or the area of Bethlehem also spoke of where the baby would be born. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But while this is all happening, Luke jumps ahead a little bit and says, while that's taking place, Mary's giving birth, she has the baby, they wrap the baby in cloths. Swaddling cloths were what we oftentimes do. They bind the baby so that the transition from being born from the womb is as easy as possible. The baby still feels compacted like it is in the womb. And so the transition becomes easier for the baby. So, and he's placed in a manger. That manger is a feeding trough. So it's a place where animals eat. So that gives us a clue. So while that is happening, and Mary's probably beginning to recover from giving birth, she's, you know, it's, can you imagine the feelings they're having? Joseph must feel really good this way he takes care of his wife. They got to be in some place where animals are. Well, while that's taking place, it says this, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, another clue, guarding their flocks of sheep. So they were out in the countryside. It tells us this, they were guarding their flocks. Flocks, generally speaking, first of all, sheep provided much meat for the people. It was a very common, it was like we have beef. Beef is everywhere. They have lambs everywhere. Most of the time they stay outdoors from April to November. And the shepherds have to stay out with them Being a shepherd was considered a lowly position. First of all, you were eliminated from ever going to church because you stink. And you're unclean because you're dealing with animal stuff. And they had a lot of rituals you had to do to clean up to go to the temple and to go to even synagogue. So they were kind of ostracized. They would build shelters, and they usually had them, all over the place, either with rocks or with branches and stuff. Why? Because there's wild animals out there. There used to be lions and all kinds of wild animals in that area. So they would build a shelter, and the entryway to the shelter, the shepherd would lay across. In another place, Jesus says that he is the shepherd of the sheep, and nobody comes in except by him. Why? Because no other sheep could come in, no enemy could come in, unless they passed through the gate who was one of the shepherds. The rest of the shepherds would light fires, because there'd be a number of flocks in the enclosure. And all the sheep knew the shepherds, their own shepherd, by their voice. So in the morning, they would call out to their sheep, and only their sheep would come. Only their sheep knew the shepherd. Jesus said he's the great shepherd, and his sheep will hear his voice. So they would do that, and then at night they'd have the fire. Some of them would sleep, and then others would keep guard to protect all the sheep, the flock. But there was a particular group of shepherds called Levitical shepherds. These were the shepherds who took care of the sheep that would be sacrificed every Sabbath or every Saturday in the religious services of the temple. And these shepherds had to be approved by the priest at the temple. They would stay out with the sheep, or they could rotate in and out, but they would stay out the whole year long with the male sheep that are born. And when every male sheep was born, they would look at that sheep to see if there was any defects, because it had to be a perfect sheep to be sacrificed. So the sheep had to learn to tolerate all the elements, not only from April to November, but all the way through the year. They would have to deal with the weather. They would have to deal with the world as it was. Then if they still proved to be no defects, healthy male sheep, then they would be taken every Sabbath. One of them would be taken and offered as the Sabbath sacrifice for the people. So they required special treatment, special observation. They were ordained to do this by the Levitical priest. And this is where we see what's called the Tower of the Flock. Since these sheep were not to give birth out in the fields, whenever the ewes were pregnant of the Levitical shepherd, of the Levitical flock, they would take that sheep to a place called the Tower of the Flock. And they were located near the roads. There'd be a number of them located between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Micah tells us this in Micah 4:9. He, first of all, in 5:2, he tells us where the boy will be born, the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb for the people. And then in Micah 4:8 and 9, he sees the place. It says in Micah 4:8, "And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion." You're close to Zion, Jerusalem. You're close to the place. And you're also in the hill between Bethlehem, the city of David. "To you shall it come. The former dominion shall come. Kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem." The daughter of Jerusalem. The king will come from the daughter of Jerusalem. O you, tower of the flock. I'm going to show you a picture of some towers that are still there of the flock. And this is what they would look like. They would be man-made structures. So what would happen is when the ewe was pregnant and ready to give birth, they would walk her in to this area right in here. There would be candles inside. There would be some kind of light. And the shepherds would stay there. Now, a couple shepherds would also, there was usually some type of staircase up to higher ground, like where this guy's standing. And that guy would still watch over the flocks. He'd still be keeping an eye on the flocks. He'd be making sure no animals came in to the tower. And so in that tower, the ewe would give birth. And when that lamb was birthed, they would first of all check to see if it was a male, because that was the sacrificial. If it wasn't a male, they would take the baby and it would go back out to the flock with the mother when she was ready and just become part of the herd. But if it was a male, the first thing they would do is check everything about that baby, you, to make sure it was healthy. And then if it was healthy, they would take swaddling cloths. And they would bind it up. And then they would put it in a bed or a feeding trough, but they called it a manger. They would put that baby lamb, the sacrificial lamb, into the manger. And they would protect it. And then for the next year, every time a male was born, they would watch it for a year. And then after a year, all those males, one a week, would be sacrificed. When Joseph and Mary were moving from Bethlehem and the fields nearby and her water broke or she needed to have, it was her time, whatever was taking place, she couldn't go any farther, they found the tower of the flock. And that's where they went in and had their baby. Now, these swaddling cloths that they would wrap the sheets, the baby male lamb, were given to them by the priesthood. It wasn't any swaddling cloth. It was a special swaddling cloth that the priest okayed could be used. They would provide it and they would wrap it. You guys getting the connection here between Jesus and this whole sheep thing? It's amazing, huh? It's amazing. This guy, Micah, who saw these things, he lived 700 years before Jesus was born. Yet he saw what was going to take place. You know, there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament talking about the Messiah. And every one of them, Jesus fulfilled. So Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, and they're, oh, we also got a picture of a manger, what it would look like too. It'd basically be a stone that they would hewn out, and sometimes they were used for food, and sometimes that's where they would put the little one. And there's still some of these things in Israel to this day. So while all that's taking place, but Scripture tells us there were these shepherds in the field. So Mary and Joseph are in this tower. These other shepherds, and they're the Levitical shepherds, were sitting doing their thing. It was night. Stars are out. Another night out following a million nights. Anybody ever get tired of their job? It's like same old, same old. Well, these guys are out there every night. Same old, same old. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. In verse 9, it says, an angel of the Lord, a literal angel, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. In other words, light came. So it's dark. They're sitting around, and then all of a sudden, it's bright as day. And there's this being talking to them. It says, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. They didn't know what was going on. Plus, they were probably blinded by the, you know, when it's dark, your eyes adjust to that. And then when it gets bright right away, that throws you off. So these guys were fearful. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is something for everybody. He says, for unto you guys, one of the lowliest professions of the day. He says, for unto you. Nobody did anything for these guys. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He's over that way towards the city of David. Who is Christ the Lord? And he says this good news is for them. And then he tells them this. And this will be a sign for you. This is, you'll know what I'm telling you is the truth when you see this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Immediately they would know, a manger? Well, they're looking around. The only mangers around here are the towers of the flock. And suddenly, after the angel says this, it tells us in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly angels, or heavenly hosts, which is another name for angels, praising God and saying, glory in God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among them with whom he is pleased. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, all these angels are around. One of the things the angels are amazed at, that God himself would take on human form. It's an incredible thing. He didn't take on angel form. You know, you'll always be a human being. I've done many funerals, and sometimes when I go to the grave sites, you'll walk by, and it's always really sad when a baby, you know, dies. And it says, our little angel. And I always look at that and go, that's theologically incorrect. That is a baby. That is a human being, and it will never be an angel. We are who we are. In fact, angels were told in Scripture that their job is to help us. They are ministering to us, it tells us in Hebrews. And there's a principle, and I've shared it with the church many times. In the kingdom of God, the principle is this. The greater always serves the lesser. And isn't that what it is in a family? Parents are always servants to their kids. They're bosses around there, telling us what to do. Luckily, they're always thankful and obedient. So that makes up for it. But he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. He came to bring peace. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They went, I don't know how many flocks of the tower, because if you have a flock of sheep, it could be, you know, a number of them could be given birth at the same time. And spring is when they do give birth, generally speaking. Because animals have that nature. It's like they have to carry it during the winter and get it out there in spring. Why? So it can find food and it can begin to grow. So they probably might have looked in a number of those towers, and then they find the one with the baby Jesus in it. And when the angel went away, they said, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Then they went with, verse 16 again, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. What was it? Unto you, the Savior has been born. This is where we want to turn off the lights and we can get the band back up here. I want you now just to kind of picture yourself. Say, let's picture ourselves as shepherds. And you're looking for this child. And then you look into this one place. And as I share with you, you see maybe there's three of them going. Maybe there was four. Maybe they had to decide, these shepherds, who was going to stay back and watch the other sheep to keep them safe and protected. Who was going to stay back? Who was going to go look for what these angels just told them? Well, say it's us doing it. And we go, and then we find, and we come into that doorway, and we're looking. And we see the baby, and we see Joseph, and we see Mary. And they're there, this family, and the baby's little boy is wrapped, little infant, really, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it's all quiet. And the only thing they have is the candlelight or the little fire in there that is bringing light to the whole place. So we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. I picture it as being quiet. Middle of the night. Actually, the next day he was born. In that period of time, Mary and Joseph there, and they're startled to see these guys. They're looking at them, and she probably wasn't really expecting company. And these shepherds look. I would imagine they'd stand there in awe, be blown away. That this night, that little baby will grow up someday. He will be perfect. He's wrapped already in the cloths that the priests give. Perfect human, which enables him to help all the other humans. And I bet they worshiped. So why don't we stand and let's hit all the lights and get your candles out and sing with us this precious song.
Sleep in heaven.
love you.
Jesus, we love you.
Christmas. Thank you for sharing this time with us and sharing in the story of Jesus. I hope, pray you get a little bit more understanding of their time and our history, our faith's history. Lord, I pray your blessing on everyone here, Lord God, as we continue this Christmas season. May we not forget the reason for the season. And Father, as we enter into this next year, God, I pray that you would prosper your people in every way. That we'd grow rich in spirit. Our relationships will deepen. Our love will be the banner we carry. God, use us in this generation for good. Every generation needs good people, God. Use us, Lord, as a light in all our spheres of influence. So I thank you for that. Bless these guys. Bless this night. Everybody said? Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great night.
We got one more song, but if you need to leave, it's our exit song.
Our exit song.
It's a song of joy to close out the Christmas season. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hi.
Christmas, everyone.